Traditional art, or folk art, is now featured at the Dahl Arts Center in Rapid City. An exhibit titled Black Hills Bounty opened this weekend with a Friday night reception and Saturday demonstrations by some of the artists. Folk art is characterized by identifiable methods of creation, some of them reaching back into antiquity. Weavers use a loom, spinners use a wheel, and indigenous artists use native materials. Many of the items on display at the Dahl are simply decorative. There are forged metal calla lilies and three-dimensional leather creations suitable for framing. But other items have use. There's a felt cowboy hat, a thick warm lap robe, and a bow with arrows used for hunting game. Some of the arts on display are as old as civilization. Others are as new as detailing motorcycles. This weekend, SDPB's Victoria Wicks watched artists work and learned more about their craft to bring us this story.
In line like that.
That unpleasant noise is the sound a pinstriper's pinky finger makes when it slides over the empty gas tank of a Harley Davidson. Spearfish artist Tim Peterson uses his little finger to steady his hand.
This striping pencil, if you will, is like a regular pencil. If you draw a line with a regular pencil slowly, it'll be crooked and full of imperfections. If you draw it quickly, in a quick motion, you'll have a straighter line. Same is true with a pinstriping pencil.
Okay.
So the faster you go, the straighter you will be.
Okay.
Which comes with confidence.
Then Peterson coaches Valerie Begeman as she attempts to apply a thin line of paint to the gas tank. The striping pencil really isn't a pencil. It's a brush, flat on the top but rounded on the bottom, that responds to the pressure applied. More force makes a thicker line.
You don't rest your palm
Just my pinky. If you have less surface contact, there's less drag on your hand. So your flow would be more, there you go. Ooh, she's getting brave. Excellent.
Ta-da.
Great, you're now a striper.
Now.
Not a stripper,
now,
but a striper.
And a hooker. Oh man, too many labels in this world.
When Valerie Begeman jokes that she's a hooker, she's not referring to the world's most ancient profession. She hooks rugs. Begeman is one of the many fabric artists at the traditional arts demonstrations held in conjunction with the exhibit Black Hills Bounty. Fabric arts are front and center at this event, not only rug hookers, but quilters, sewers, a weaver, and a spinner.
I'm spinning llama right now. This llama fiber is from llamas that I grow.
Judy Cox Sample talks with people who stop to watch her spinning yarn on a wheel. She has 8 llamas right now on her property at Buffalo Gap, and she says she shears them herself.
They're all halter trained, and so all I do is halter them and tie them to the rail, and they don't mind being sheared. I think it must feel good to them to get all that wool off. They do object to having their legs handled. They do not like that. They're a prey animal, so... trimming their feet or doing anything with their legs is a little bit more of a challenge than shearing. But shearing is actually fun.
She's been spinning for about 35 years, so she's experienced enough to talk while she works, turning fluffy black fiber into thin yarn.
I have all kinds of colors. I don't have a lot of white. The white is actually merino. I do have a little bit of white llama because... 3 of my llamas are tricolored, and so they have white on them, and it's not too difficult to separate the colors. I have one that's an Appaloosa, which means he's just spotted all over. I don't try to separate those colors.
Cox Sample sells her yarn through Fall River Fibers, a hot spring shop owned by Terry Slagle. Slagle is a weaver who works at a loom near the spinning wheel. She describes fibers she has used in some of her weavings.
Okay, this is a bison and wool blend. I also have one that's a bison bamboo and wool blend.
Slagle says she mostly uses Scandinavian weaving techniques, sometimes with traditional fibers and sometimes with different materials for a new take on an old craft. Like the bison fiber.
Some of it I'll end up dyeing, perhaps with some indigo dye, but the rest is this natural color. And then I have some being made with a dark brown wool so that it retains more of the bison color.
Slagle says fabric weaving has been a part of civilization for thousands of years. That antiquity shows up in other arts in this exhibit, leather tooling, rose mulling, wood carving, and metalwork.
During the Bronze Age, they still used some of the same techniques with hammer and anvil and the use of fire and so on. So there was an easy transition to go from the Bronze to the Iron Age.
Jack Parks is a blacksmith and folk artist from Piedmont. He sits in the shade outside the Dahl Arts Center and lets his son, Seth, demonstrate archaic metalworking done with hammer and anvil, hand blower, and coal forge.
Blacksmiths were also known as the king of craftsmen because not only did they make tools for themselves, but they made tools for all the other craftsmen.
This ancient art has been handed down from master to apprentice, father to son, keeping it alive in the 21st century. Not so ancient is rosemaling, a style of floral painting that emerged in Norway in the 18th century. But even though it's comparatively new, it's still older than pinstriping Harleys. Brenda Rood finds meditation in rosemaling, just as other crafters do who practice quiet, repetitious arts.
It's freeing. I just love the flow of it. I love the beauty of it. And it brings me back to my roots of being, I'm 100% Norwegian, and so I just love it.
Sitting at the same table with Rood is rosemaler Mary Hyde. She says this decorative painting has traditionally been applied to things made of wood, furniture, dishes, utensils, boxes, bowls, and trunks, and it brightened up the long winters for Norwegian families.
They would bring in itinerant painters, and they would spend time with them and live with them, and they would paint the inside of their cabins so that their winters didn't seem quite as long. In the process, they developed certain styles in different areas, depending on the painters.
The itinerant painters' individual styles were copied by other rosemalers and eventually permeated a geographic area. Colors also developed by region, following whatever minerals and vegetation were available for pigmentation. Now Hyde says there are several distinctive regional styles, such as Telemark, Valdres, and Hallingdal. That same regional distinction is seen on this continent, most notably in indigenous art. First people used the materials that were available, and so the arts and crafts of the Southwest are clearly discernible from the art of the Southeast. Here on the plains, traditional artists use bison hide, horns, bones, porcupine quills, feathers, and dyes from native flowers, berries, roots, and minerals. Stan Goodshield Hawkins shakes a rattle he made from a turtle shell and bison hide. On the table before him are necklaces and a beaded and fringed leather bag. Hawkins says he's been crafting for 26 years, and his first works were more practical than decorative.
I started off making custom pool cues, you know, and then I started using leather on them for the handles. And then I started making cue cases were made out of leather, too, and then I started adding. And then from there, I made some personal jewelry, and my friends liked it, and pretty soon other people started asking for it.
In front of him on the table are some necklaces. One of them is adorned with three Indian head nickels.
This is what I started with, organic stuff, you know, no metal. But my wife said if I want to sell some jewelry to some of the other wives, I got to put a little metal in it, make it a little, so that's what I've been doing.
Hawkins says he sells his wares on Etsy and is working on having a presence on Facebook. Although some of the artists work just for the love of it, others do not. Tim Peterson, who pinstripes Harleys, has a bachelor's degree in art, and his paintings have been featured in shows and shops for decades. But by trade, he's a sign painter. I asked him about this at his pinstriping demo.
I know you paint canvases, too. Why do you do this?
For the money.
See, I told you. That's why you're not out here painting canvases, huh?
It's for the money.
So there's a practical consideration for these artists. You want to eat, you not only got to work, you got to get paid. Given that these folk arts emerge from trades, some of the world's oldest professions, that financial consideration is also traditional. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.